This is North Shore Today for Thursday, May 16, 2024. In our headlines, the ballot question regarding the state's MCAS test may appear on the November ballot. Another car crash in Saugus, and an update on the Linfield Street Road Project in Lynn. Our weather forecast today, rain, temperatures in the 50s, high tide this evening at 7:20. The news is powered by Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, supporting local news coverage on the North Shore and supporting the North Shore. I'm Bill Newell. Rick Moore is off today. The ballot question regarding the fate of the MCAS test is moving closer to appearing on the ballot in Massachusetts in November. Salem News Statehouse reporter Christian Wade writes today that the supporters of those looking to scrap the MCAS are closing in on the required signatures to have the question appear on this November's ballot. In Saugus, a car crashed into a beauty salon on Route 1 yesterday. Daily Item reporter Benjamin Pierce writes today that the 10 a.m. accident yesterday resulted in no injuries to the driver or to the customers inside the salon. Lynn City Councilors got an update on the road construction project on Linfield Street this week. The Department of Transportation engineer Paul Malloy with that update.
So I'll start off with the good news. We just recently completed the full depth pavement installation last Saturday. That was the most challenging portion of this project. So if anyone's driven the street, we're up to the base and the binder grade of the pavement for the project limits. And that was a challenging traffic management situation where we had to do alternating one-way traffic. We coordinated with the city and the police department, and you know, traffic was a little bit challenging for the last 4 to 5 weeks. But the good news is, going forward for the rest of this construction season, we're going to be working on the curb and the sidewalks on both sides of the streets. And by doing that, we can kind of just work on one side of the street and still maintain two-way traffic. So we won't be doing the one-way alternating. So the traffic should greatly improve for the rest of the project. Right now, the finished pavement is scheduled for next spring. We'll see how it goes this year. I won't rule out this year, but right now it's scheduled for next spring. So
with the lane closures in the past, the next phase of the project will now be impacting local residents with that sidewalk work.
I know we meet with the city representatives. We have biweekly progress meetings, provide 3-week look aheads and get that out to the city for informational purposes. Going forward, we're going to be coordinating with all the stakeholders, the abutters, the businesses, because we are going to be ripping up sidewalks in front of their houses and businesses, as well as driveways, and we got to pour concrete back. So there's going to be times where they're going to be impacted. But hopefully with the notice, everybody can let us do what we need to do and get in and get out.
That is Paul Malloy from the Department of Transportation. Later in North Shore Today Extra, we will feature an exchange with City Councilor Brian Field and the project leaders regarding police details. Later this month, there'll be a Pride weekend on Cape Ann. John McElhenney reports in today's Gloucester Times that events will take place beginning May 31 and run through June 2nd. Events are planned for Gloucester, Rockport, Essex, and Manchester-by-the-Sea. The Greater Cape Ann Chamber of Commerce is the founding organizer and partner. Names in the news. In Salisbury, Gil Medeiros has been elected to the Board of Selectmen. Incumbent Donna Abdullah is also re-elected to that board. In Newbury, two incumbent Board of Selectmen members were re-elected. They are Alicia Greco and Jeffrey Walker. Sports is next, followed by North Shore Today Extra.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Yes, we are a full-service lumber yard, but we also offer doors and windows and kitchen cabinets. Please visit us in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan.
If you're a soap bar user and you're always annoyed by the fact that when you use your entire bar, you're stuck with this little sliver of soap that you don't know what to do with, hold on, because I think I have the solution for you. It's always a pain to have that little sliver of soap that we didn't really know how to use but didn't want to waste and throw away. So we invented this cute cube-shaped soap bar that then you can place your old little soap sliver right into. There's a carved out X in the center of the bar that then you can place your old soap sliver into. You just break up that little sliver into pieces that are two or three and it fits right inside. And bam, now you've got a brand new soap bar and you didn't have to waste anything. If that's something you're interested in and you want to support a sustainable small business, then head on over to our shop at exobath.com. You can buy one for yourself or give it as a gift. It ships anywhere in the United States and you can get 20% off your first order.
Click on to the ExoBath banner at the top of our website. This is MSO Sports, bringing voice to the North Shore. The Celtics advanced onto the Eastern Conference Finals with an NBA 113-98 win over the Cavaliers last night. Bruins were off last night. They'll take on the Panthers tomorrow night at the Garden in Game 6 of their NHL playoff series. The Bruins still trail that series, now 3-2. They need a win or their season comes to an end. As for the Red Sox, here's baseball insider Andy Carboni.
Last night at Fenway Park, the Red Sox lost to the Rays 4-3. Rafael Devers and Wally Abreu each hit home runs. Tanner Houck charged with the loss after allowing 3 runs, one of them earned, and 5 hits and 5 2/3 innings. On Jersey Street tonight, Sox and Rays play the final game of their 4-game series. Red Sox also wrapping up a 7-game homestand. First pitch at 7:10. Cooper Criswell getting the call on the mound. After today's game, the Red Sox head out on a 6-game road trip, 3 games in St. Louis, and then 3 more games in Tampa. Red Sox find themselves this morning at 22-21 on the season, third place in the AL East, now 6.5 games behind the first place, Yankees.
Thanks, Andy. The Endicott baseball team heads to Eastern Connecticut State today for the start of the NCAA D3 tournament. The Gulls will take on Husson tomorrow morning at 11. Endicott College coach Brian Haley on that game.
Yeah, we're excited for it. We do know Husson. We played them a few years back. They have a great coach, Chris Morris, and a really good team. They won their league and kind of breezed through their conference championship, so they got a good club. Last year, they beat Tufts in the regional held down at Mitchell, and then they took Wheaton College to 13 innings. So they're a very good team that we're excited to play, and that'll be Friday morning at 11 a.m.
The Gulls are coming off their third straight Commonwealth Coast Conference championship, and what a championship it was.
Yeah, it was a really, really good tournament. I thought our guys played very well, and it's baseball, so you have all different types of games. In the first game, we jumped on Western New England in the middle innings, and then they jumped right back and put up a 5-spot on us and took the lead 5-4 in the middle. So they kind of punched us right in the mouth. And then from there, we were able late in that game to put up another big inning and separate ourselves and win that one. So that was a real dogfight kind of through and through until we finally got that big inning late. The second game was another really close game. We ended up beating Roger Williams, who's another really good team, 4-1, and that was kind of a pitcher's duel, and we were able to put up a few runs and then close it out there. And then the championship, at that point, Western New England had done an amazing job working through the loser's bracket and, like, really swinging the bats well. And they scored double digits, I think, almost every game they played. And at that point, their pitching was pretty depleted. And we were fortunate to be on our number three pitcher, who's a stud for us, Nick Cannata. And Nick pitched a complete game, and we swung the bats well, highlighted by Brendan O'Neill, who had 2 home runs and almost had a third. He got one pulled back, robbed. And then Brendan Walsh hit a home run early in that game, our 7-hitter freshman, to kind of get us going. So it was an exciting game. The championship, we were able to put up a big number and beat him 9-1. But it was a really good tournament. Our guys, proud of the way they played. They played really hard and played well.
Endicott College coach Brian Haley. We do have a post up with that complete interview with Coach Haley and also links to the program and to view the game tomorrow morning at 11. The St. John's Prep baseball team shut out Malden Catholic 9-0 yesterday in the annual Pete Fridays game, supporting the fight for a cure to ALS. The Beverly softball team lost their first Northeastern Conference game of the year. Gloucester beat them yesterday 7-4. Overall, the Panthers are now 12-3 on the season. The Peabody girls lacrosse team won their first ever Northeastern Conference title. Yesterday, they beat Gloucester 14-2. That gives the Tanners a 13-2 record. They are 13-0 in the Northeastern Conference, and we have a photo down below on our sports section here on the Post. In boys lacrosse, Marblehead topped Winthrop 8-4, and the Magicians are now 11-1 in league play, 11-3 overall. Don't forget to check out this week's North Shore and Merrimack Valley Sports Desk shows with Dom Nicastro right here on our website. This is North Shore Today, giving voice to the North Shore, the area's only daily news and sports podcast. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell, hoping you have a great Thursday. North Shore Today Extra is next. Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan. This is North Shore Today Extra. I'm Bill Newell. In this segment, we're going to feature an extended audio clip from the Lynn City Council meeting this week, and it aired on lynntv.org with Lynn City Councilor Brian Field asking questions to Paul Malloy from the Department of Transportation. Now, this has been a long, ongoing project. We featured some news updates in our news portion just a moment ago, when there had been one lane of traffic on Linfield Street, a major in-and-out route to the city, big traffic backups. And a bigger question here raised by Councilor Field is police details. Now, this may really kind of impact any construction project in the state of Massachusetts. So we thought it was kind of worth listening to this exchange. Again, Councilor Brian Field of the City Councilor and Paul Malloy from the Department of Transportation.
Councilor Field.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Malloy, I'm the one that asked for the for you guys to be here tonight to answer any questions that we have. I know... challenging is probably the word that you used. It's been more than challenging for the residents of the city. It's been a public safety hazard, in my opinion. I know Newport has been great as far as the construction part of it. I believe is the gentleman's name is Aldo that I've been reaching out to.
Aldo's here. Yeah.
He's been great at responding right away, taking any calls from concerns that we've had as a council. My concern is something that I voiced, you know, when you proposed other projects in that same area. I drove through Saugus during that construction. There were six police cars at the minimum during that construction. Multiple times that I've driven through Linfield Street construction with alternating traffic, there's been two police details. No vehicles, just two details. Which means it's been gridlock getting into the city. It's been gridlock getting out of the city for anybody that's tried to travel through that area, not just people that abut that area. The people that abut that area, we voiced concerns in the past about people going up one ways, people going down small streets where there's children playing out in front of their house. These cars have been sitting there for over 45 minutes in traffic, and I get that there's going to be challenges at times, but you guys promised to us that the police, that there would be a sufficient amount of details to address those. You've been taking public safety for granted. The police chief, Captain Brown, has had to allot daytime officers into Wyoming Square, not paid details, into Wyoming Square during their regular shifts to accommodate the construction that's being taken place. You have three additional projects in the pipeline coming forward, and you're already letting us down on this first one. I have no confidence in anything that MassDOT is doing right now as far as promising to support the smaller neighborhoods that abut that. At multiple times, we've had to reach out to Captain Brown because they've been detouring down other smaller streets to accommodate these projects where those were not in the plans. So I want you to explain everything of how that's how you're doing that.
As far as the police details?
Yeah, I want to know how many police details you have for this project, how many you've had, and so we know coming up with these other multi-million dollar projects that you have planned in the city, how you're going to address the detail situation for public safety. People who sit in traffic for 45 minutes. I've sat through that intersection with looking at the light. I didn't move for seven lights. And it's not just me. I'm speaking on behalf of the residents, people visiting the city, people trying to get to work, people trying to get to school. These are calls that we're facing every single day. I get that it's work that needs to be done, but you guys really dropped the ball in as far as how to handle the amount of traffic that goes through that one area.
And I'll defer to Al, though, but typically we communicate with the police department on the construction activities, and we're not trying to limit the number of police details. I can promise you that, you know. So
how many do you have?
On a typical day, Aldo, what do we have? So why don't you come on up? Yeah, Aldo's the resident engineer, and he's been coordinating with the city police department. But, you know, MassDOT is not looking to skimp on the police details. We want as many out there to help the project safely, have all the cars go safely through there as well, too. So I'm guessing it's a resource issue, but I'm going to defer to Aldo. Aldo's the resident engineer.
Aldo Cassano, RE for the project. We have had issues ordering details multiple weeks, almost since the start of the project. The issue is, especially with the police department, where we keep on getting officers that are coming off the night shift. Mm-hmm. So by the time they get to us, we're talking like 9:30, almost 10. And we've asked Officer Economo, who orders the details, to actually reach out to bordering cities. Salem, Saugus has helped out, Nahant, Peabody at times. And he's actually told us, you know, he'll get back to me and say, when there's only two of them and we need four. He goes, the best we can do is two at this time. If you have to reach out to Mass State Police, then go ahead.
Route 129 is a state highway, so why aren't you reaching out to state police if you can't support it with the local?
As far as
state police,
yes.
If we can reach out to
have you?
The surrounding communities.
We have.
Usually it's the police department from the city and town that would coordinate that. We deal with, we can't really call Saugus and say, hey, we need you over in Lynn. Usually you work with the police chief or the detail officer, and he tries to fill whatever order we have. We're ordered four a day. And if they typically on all these other, we do this with the state police. I'm paving on all the interstates, and literally we're ordering four or five a night, and I'm lucky to get one state police on my nighttime paving job. And those are the high speed roads, and then the state police will reach out to the cities and towns. Typically, the resident engineer will not be allowed to reach out to another city and town and order a detail to come to Lynn. It doesn't work that way. It starts with the Lynn PD. We try and fill that order. Hopefully they can. If they can't, then they would try and reach out to whether that's the state police or surrounding community. That's the process. It's really a resource issue, and this isn't, Lynn's not the only one. There's a lot of other projects in Lynn right now. Yep. And you know, they probably know this is a tough detail. It's not an easy place to work.
A plum assignment.
Yeah. I will say, I think the communication's been handled a little bit better over the past few weeks since we requested that you be here. I know we've been updated, and I know the police, Captain Brown's been updated, and you know it's improved. But in the beginning of your project, it was a public safety nightmare when ambulances couldn't even get down to anywhere up in that area.
So we're going to continue to work with the Lynn PD, and I can promise you we're not skimping on details. We're trying to get the four or five out there that we...
An exchange led by Lynn City Councilor Brian Field from this week's Lynn City Council meeting. And again, that entire meeting can be heard and viewed on lynntv.org. Thanks for tuning in to North Shore Today, a North Shore Today Extra. I'm Bill Newell. This is MSONewsSports.com.